But let's go back to Money in the Bank. That's what we were talking about before you went to Chuck E. Cheese to celebrate your 43rd birthday.
Going down the slide at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes. All right.
I love it. I love it, man. I do.
I know. I did too. Yeah. It was excellent. It was excellent.
Yeah. Let's just go ahead and fast forward a little bit, because everyone knows what happened in Money in the Bank by now. Let's go to the men's Money in the Bank situation, where I'm going to rant here for right now. Insulted my intelligence, and I am not that much of an intelligent man, but Money in the Bank insulted my intelligence. Up until that point, I was enjoying the pay-per-view. Okay, so you've got the main contestants in there. Sami Zayn supposedly has been attacked by backstage. And then...
I was going to bring that up to you just for a second. Go right ahead, please.
Okay, go ahead. Tell me about Sami Zayn.
Well, don't you think that would be a way to bring in one person? I mean, we don't know who attacked him. We have no idea. So why couldn't it have been the Firefly Funhouse?
I would have loved it. Well, then again, Bray was off doing other things because he and JoJo just had a child. So I'm sure he was with JoJo at the time. So congratulations, Bray, by the way. But to have what happened with Mr. Boring in the Bank.
Yes.
Brock Lesnar. Yeah. Coming in unannounced. Nobody knew that he was part of it. How did he become part of it? Nobody knows. They still haven't explained that. And then he climbs the ladder and he grabs it. Stupid. That was stupid booking.
Yes, now, it was.
Okay. Give me your idea how to make this booking better if you're going to include Brock Lesnar. Tell me what you would do.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I would probably have one of the younger talents basically win Money in the Bank. To me, I would have Finn Balor win Money in the Bank. But bringing in Brock Lesnar the way they did for no apparent reason, it didn't make any sense. As soon as was it Ricochet that went up?
Yeah, Ali
went up and he went to go grab that briefcase. As soon as that music hit, I almost threw popcorn at the wall because I just couldn't believe it. Like, of all the people you bring out, Brock Lesnar.
I was sitting in by my computer watching while my lovely wife was watching something else on TV in the other room. And I went, holy crap, pretty loud because she said, what's wrong? And I was that absolutely upset.
Well, so was I. I mean, and I heard that music go off. I think the people in the casino looked at me like I had lost my mind because there was some explicit words come out of my mouth. And one guy had come up and goes, you okay? I said, no, they're just letting the dumb son of a gun when it's something that doesn't need to be into. And it was... It's stupid. Why are you bringing these old talent? You don't push new talent. You push the old talent. And of all the people to push is the one the fans don't want to see. But then you get on social media and they go, well, Brock's money. Brock brings money. No, he doesn't. If he brought money, then that place would have been packed.
You would have heard the crowd doing more than booing. Yeah, they just kind of,
They would have erupted. They would have had a blast. They would have started throwing babies up in the air. I mean, come on.
And then they went to Chuck E. Cheese and celebrated.
Going down the slide at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, they went to Chuck E. Cheese and celebrated and slapped the mouse in the face. But no, I mean, come on. This is what you have got. WWE, you have a company that is coming up onto your heels, and they haven't even had their pay-per-view yet. And this is how you do it? No, I would have had Ricochet win it, or Ali to win it, or Finn Balor to win it.
And Finn Balor took a beating. He was smashed so many times on top of those ladders. He even had somebody land on top of him when he's laying on the ladder. He took a beat. Oh, he was awesome.
Finn Balor's lucky he's not paralyzed.
Oh, man, he got beat up on that match.
Finn Balor is the luckiest man on this planet. When he was powerbombed on that ladder, you saw his back fold. And yeah. I looked at him and was like,
ooh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so now we've gotten your opinion. I'm going to become the booker here. This is my This is Dave Denton's booking analysis of the match. And I want to include Brock Lesnar in it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I would have done. I would have started the match without Sammy and have it go for quite a while, and then have Sammy show up saying that he was hobbling to the ring and he became part of the match. I would have had Sammy come in, being part of the match, you know, with the gurney people from the ambulance, you know, pushing him or something. Doctors saying, no, some of the officials, no, you can't get in there. Sammy gets in there, gets a couple of high spots in, and then, you know, of course, his back will give out. At that point, I don't care who gets the Money in the Bank contract, but you've got Sami Zayn. So let's say that it was Finn Balor, climbs the ladder, grabs the contract. He is the Money in the Bank winner. He is celebrating, and then all of a sudden, you get that stupid music, and you eat a Jimmy John's sandwich, and here comes Mr. Boring in the Bank. He attacks Finn Balor, takes the Money in the Bank briefcase, and then maybe have Paul Heyman grab a hold of the microphone and saying, if you want it, try to get it. This belongs to Brock. That would have been, the crowd would have loved it. They would have had the swerve with Sammy. They would have had Sammy coming out trying. They would have had a definitive winner. Then you would have had Brock Lesnar coming out, stealing it basically, and laughing in the face of everybody else there. That makes more sense to me than the way they did it. So, Chris, that's the way Dave Denton, if I'd have been the booker, I would have done it. What do you think about my idea?
I think your pay-per-view ending is a heck of a lot better than what they did, because that would have put people glued to the sets or glued to their computers and watching it more than just having the last thing that we just watched. I mean, I would rather have seen what you had put. That was brilliant booking like that. But that right there, what they did was just, it was like whitewashing the fence that doesn't need it. So, no, I like what you put. That was perfect. That would have been perfect right there for next week on Raw.
Here was my main problem, and I think you would agree with me here. I think having him attack Sammy backstage, fine, I don't care. But to have him come out as an unannounced contestant, why did he win? He wasn't even in the match. Explain how he got into the match. Did he threaten the McMahons? Did Paul Heyman bribe someone backstage to put him into the match at the last minute? Even if they had have done that, it would have been better.
It was a fiasco from the beginning. And to have Brock Lesnar win Money in the Bank, it just doesn't make any sense. I don't understand it. And it was stupid. I mean, stupid booking at stupid booking. That's all I can say. It was dumb booking.
Let's move on from the WWE, okay?
Yep.
Let's put them in the rearview mirror. Like right now, they. Sorry, I'm sorry, guys. I'm usually a very positive person, but the end of that match just ticked me off. Let's go to Double or Nothing this weekend, Las Vegas, Nevada. There's a lot of different things going on in Las Vegas. And then you have the pay-per-view on Saturday night, Double or Nothing. And it's getting ready for October, I think it is, when Tuesday night Dynamite is going to be premiering on TNT. What do you think that AEW needs to do right now to keep that momentum going?
They need to keep up everything that they're doing now, that they're saying that they're not going to be there's not going to be nobody, you know, doing the scripts for them. They're going to just go off the fly. I think that AEW has got a good thing going right now. But the only thing that AEW is going to have a problem with is that their main event for the championship is they got to find a replacement because someone decided that he didn't want to be beat, and he's gone. I think it was
Hangman Page against
Pac. And now Pac decides he doesn't want to do it because he doesn't want to be beat, so he decides to take his ball and go home.
Now, he was the former Neville in the WWE, guys, if you didn't know who we're talking about. And reportedly, he has taken his ball and said, yeah, I'm not going to be part of this. Could it be a work? Could it be?
Yeah, it could be a work. I mean, Cody's smart enough to do something like that right there. We'll really never know until the pay-per-view is here.
Yeah.
And, I mean, their pay-per-view is how much now? 60?
I think it's
50?
just under $50.
Just under $50?
Right.
Hmm.
It's a lot of money.
Well, see, that's a lot of money for a pay-per-view, but a lot of people are already complaining about that. But, I mean, people are going to complain about anything that they can these days. But
yeah.
AEW has got two things going for them right now. One, they've got a fresh look. It's fresh wrestling. And two, they've got new talent and not the old talent.
But they got a good mixture. I mean, you got you've got Chris Jericho, and then you've got Cody, who's a veteran. The Young Bucks have been around for a few years, but they're also, you know, they have Hangman Adam Page, who's an up-and-comer, a really good wrestler. I've watched him for years on ROH. And then you've got, I think, a lot of money behind it. I hope that they can make it work. And I think the one thing that might help them is, like you said, they're not going to have a huge roster of people that are writing, just the writers. I think they're going to have the wrestlers themselves decide on some of the booking and how things are going to occur, who's going to be champion, who's going to do this. But you can't have them, just going in at the last minute and saying things. You got to have a plan, and I hope they have plans not only for this match but coming up in the future. And good grief, Cody Rhodes and Dustin and the Young Bucks and these guys that have been in for years, they know they have to have a plan. So there's something in the works, and I'm excited for Saturday night, Double or Nothing in Las Vegas.
Well, Vegas is going to be good. Hopefully that their pay-per-view turns out really well and it beats Money in the Bank. I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what AEW does and when their TV deal hits. We'll see. I mean, everyone's screaming about AEW, and people are going crazy over it like it's something they've never seen before. And let's see if they break the fourth wall and they bring out the blood and they start hitting people with chairs. And I mean, I'm just hoping that they can do something and maybe competition. I mean, even Booker T said it on his Twitter page. He goes, "We have a new competitor, and I'm ready for war." Well, Booker, you don't even wrestle anymore. How can you be ready for war? All you do is bad commentary.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah, you're quacky, dacky, whatever, chucky, wucky, whatever it is. But no, who cares? I mean, this is what the WWE needs is a wake-up call. That's what they need. They need a wake-up call.
Yeah.
Now you have competition. If Cody is smart, and I know he is, he will find a way to beat SmackDown in the ratings somehow. I'm tired of WWE. I'm sick of it.
You know that before Money in the Bank, Stephanie backstage had a little rah-rah talk and actually mentioned AEW as being competition. And I think competition is good. And I'm hoping that that the guys from the WWE will watch. I'm sure they will. You're going to have a bunch of people watching on Saturday night, some of the higher-ups from WWE, taking notes of what they can and cannot do to go against them because, hey, competition. But that's going to be a good thing because if it makes them have a better plan or to stick to plans to make sure that they make sense or maybe just a little, give it just a little bit more time, I think that's what the WWE really needs. And I'm hoping that they'll do well. One of our friends of the program, Tom Sherlock, who was the original host with me on Turnbuckle Trash, he's going to be there, and I'm hopeful to be able to get him on the phone to talk to him after seeing the event, and I'm hoping he has a great time. We'll see if we can get Tom involved again on Turnbuckle Trash.
Well, let's hopefully he does. It'll be good to hear his voice, and maybe he can give us a little thing when he goes up there, and let's see how it was and how the atmosphere is, and let's have some old time professional wrestling. Let's have some good professional wrestling this time. It's not this, oh, we're going to change the main event right off the bat. No, gosh, why bring that man back into this? God, Lord, why bring him back into it?
You know, like I do, that professional wrestling is all about that swerve. You're trying to get that swerve in there. But a swerve needs to make sense, guys. And they could have made it make sense if they would have just thought about it making sense. No, they said, oh, let's just put him in at the end, let him get the money in the bank, and do that stupid excrement-eating grin of his. And I'm going to say this right now, okay? I put it on our Facebook page and several other Facebook pages. And that Brock deserves better. I am not a fan of Brock Lesnar, but he's taking crap because of the situation they put him in. And and I think he deserves better. And maybe he should say, come on, guys, this isn't right. You're insulting people's intelligence by doing this. And Brock, if by chance you ever hear this, it's not anything against you personally. I'm just not a big fan. And I'm sure he doesn't like me either, but that's fine.
Well, I mean, he can just scratch his mad place and get glad. Who knows? Who cares? And he's not in it for the fans. He's in it for the money. We all know this for a fact. He's never been a fan of professional wrestling. Even Jim Cornette said that one time that Brock had done something to his wife, and Jim brought out a 45 and put it up to his chest and said, I don't care. I'm not bigger than you, and I can't suplex you, but I can make you see God real quick.
I love Jimmy.
Yes, Jim is a... I'm surprised AEW hasn't gone for Jim Cornette, but I understand that Jim is now working with the NWA, trying to help them out. And
Major League Wrestling, too, MLW. He does some work with them, so... Well, okay, Chris, we're going to let you go. And once again, a happy birthday to you. And I'm glad you got to eat. At least tell me, was the food decent at Chuck E. Cheese?
The pizza was okay. It was all right. It wasn't the greatest in the world. I won't go back to the place because, my God, it was so hot. And they're trying, all these kids keep running into you and you're trying to play a game. I mean, one kid grabbed the basketball from my hand and shot it. I mean, he shot it better than I could. I missed. But other than that, it was fine. I mean, I like it, but I won't go back. Maybe I'll go back when I'm 60.
Hey, have yourself a great time, okay?
All right, I appreciate it. Thank y'all, guys.
What happens when Dave and Zane talk wrestling? That's next on Turnbuckle Trash.
You think of men with menacing, icy stares that could freeze their opponents cold. Brutes who beat their foes into submission.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Dr. Dave, the man with the plan, is here on Turnbuckle Trash on a rainy, rainy Tuesday.
Boy, we have had some rain here in Utah in
my
the spring.
Goodness.
And we're supposed to be in a desert, man. It's raining all the time.
What would Booker T say?
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Dave. Has it been raining for 24/7?
Oh, hey, that was funny. That was funny. And who's the champ? Who knows?
Wasn't it Dragon Pro or something that does that as well?
Yeah, Joey Ryan. Remember you and I were talking about Joey Ryan having that belt for a while. And what do you think about the new 24/7 title?
Why didn't they just take the Intercontinental title and actually give it some new stipulation? Or maybe the U.S. title and give it a new stipulation? Why do we have to have another title?
What are they going to do to make people care about this title? Because right now, if you have the Intercontinental title, it doesn't, it used to mean you were the number one contender, doesn't mean that anymore. U.S. title, hey, great title, but what does it mean? They got to give this thing meaning.
But like I said, why, where is the Intercontinental title?
It's on Finn Balor.
Oh, that's great.
Uh-huh.
Who knew, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. But it is, he wears it 24/7.
Yeah, and I'll bet you Mysterio, he's regretting getting the U.S. championship.
Whew, yeah.
No, but why isn't a guy like Samoa Joe in the main event scene? What is he doing wasting his time with the U.S. title?
You know, you and I have talked about this so so much that Joe is such a talent, and the crowd reacts to him so much, and he plays that heel character, that bad attitude heel so well. And they just say, okay, here's a little feud for you. No big deal. You're going to be a mid-card. Nothing. Okay, here you go.
But let's talk about that. Was that at Hiranagi or whatever that Joe took to the face?
Yeah.
That was bad. Was that why they stopped the match?
I'm not so sure. I wonder if they didn't make it a little bit shorter because of that. I mean, his nose, I saw a little blood and all that, and then all of a sudden they got a look at his face, and you could see that nose pushed way over. I said, ooh, that's a bad break.
Oh, yeah.
And blood everywhere. And I don't know
awesome.
If they cut it short, but I liked the controversy at the end with Joe's shoulder being up. I thought that was a nice little touch. We got to get this match over with because Joe attacked Ray right afterwards.
I've heard rumor that Ray's son is a professional wrestler.
Yeah. Ray's son has been training. He did just a little bit, when Ray was with, the Lucha Underground. He did just a little bit, and I heard he'd done some training, and now he's doing training at the training center. And Ray is also training him, and there's a rumor that he will turn on his dad, and that's how Ray will lose his mask.
Oh. So he's going to lose his mask?
Yeah, I don't know if I like that. I want Ray with his mask, you know, that to be
honest
with you.
Remember they tried that in WCW?
Yeah, and he looked like a 10-year-old child?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we already know what he looks like. You know, what big exactly. deal is that going to be? But. You know, revisionist history, they'll probably never mention that when he loses the mask.
Well, that's because WCW doesn't exist, remember?
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Well, I guess it kind of does. It...
Just in the archives of the WWE Network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, so let's talk about that women's Money in the Bank match.
That was good.
Dude, are those gals just awesome or what?
They put on... as good or better than of a Money in the Bank match that I've ever seen. It was high spot after high spot. I wonder if like Natty got hurt because all of a sudden she wasn't in there. I don't know, but I really liked the outcome with Bayley getting it and Sonya Deville interfering, and it was just fun.
That was pretty cool. That was pretty good when she grabs.
Mandy Rose.
Mandy Rose, and picks her up and carries her up the ladder.
And Mandy's got to weigh like you know 110 to 120 because she's yeah. really muscular, and you know she could be right around the 100-pound mark. I don't know how tall she is, but that's still climbing up a ladder with that much weight
on your shoulders. That is tough.
And she didn't look like she had much trouble with it either.
Nope. But honestly, you know who I was hoping would win?
Who's that?
Dana Brooke.
Would have been a good choice.
I would have liked to have seen her go up against Ronda in a decent feud.
Well, I don't think we have to worry about Ronda Rousey for a while.
You think she's out for a while?
Oh, I don't think. I don't think she'll come back unless she and her husband discuss putting off having a family for a while. But she's in her 30s, so, you know, now's the time if she's going to have a family. Man,
she's been pretty, a little bit nasty about that whole deal, you know, telling everybody to stay out of her uterus and like that. She's kind of a butt wipe, unless she just plays a butt wipe on social Twitter and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't think she's going to come back. She might after a child. And I really don't care, to be honest
maybe
with
just
you.
Guest stars or do a little guest appearance here and there.
Yeah, maybe you know, maybe come in for a pay-per-view as you know. I wish they would do these things like a tag match and bring in a specialty wrestler to be somebody's secret partner, you know, against somebody. I like that that old dude. There was an old old wrestler back in Memphis named the Fabulous Jackie Fargo. And once a year, Jackie would get into a feud either with Jerry Lawler or somebody. And he'd get into a really nasty feud with him. And he would make a call to his brother, Roughhouse Fargo. And Roughhouse supposedly was in an institution. And they would let him come out just to be in this match with his brother, the Fabulous Jackie Fargo.
Sure. You know, I miss kayfabe, man. Those old days just were so awesome. I mean, now, you know, it's like, it's kind of, you know, like Braun Strowman. He's this big bad A mother trucker, you know, on TV. But his Instagram is under his real name, not his ring name. And, like, he's posted pictures of him out there fishing with a big smile on his face. And, you know, it's just like, come on, dude.
Well, I think the reason they don't do it is because you've got smart alecks like you and I that are still marks, but we're the smart marks. I are a smart ass, whatever the case may be.
So would be we be smarks?
Smarks, yes. Well, that's a new term. Let's call ourselves smarks from now on. I love that.
Let's talk about that.
Okay, that steel cage match against Shane O'Mac.
Here's what I want to know was. Not a steel cage or a sauna, because dude, it's like as soon as they shut the damn door, Shane McMahon's like,
he is the one man sweat gland, Shane McMahon.
Dude, that guy's like buckets, man, buckets.
I mean, he does sweat more than anybody I've ever seen, so. Maybe he should use Dial. What do you think of this steel cage sauna match?
That was stupid because I thought the whole they're like, oh, you can win by pinfall or submission, and then like the whole foot on the ropes thing, and I hate the climbing out of the cage. Like, whatever happened to the good old days of getting over the top of the cage?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. You know, the door was chained shut, and
The Miz got a couple of shots with that door when he was trying to scoot.
That was pretty
cool.
He got him on the noggin a couple times. Yeah. That looked like it stung a little bit.
Oh, those moves they got to hurt a little bit to make them look real. So you know nothing there.
You know, I don't know. It was an entertaining match, but it meant absolutely nothing to me. Absolutely nothing. The match itself was fun. It was a fun match, you know. I love The Miz, except for that splash. That was kind of a butt fumble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you notice that? Did you see that?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I forgot to dive out when I did my splash.
maybe he slipped on some sweat. Probably.
Huh?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
God. Yeah, Shane needs to have a towel boy or something. Time out. Shane needs the towel boy can come in and Shane can wipe his forehead off and hand that sweaty nasty towel back to the towel boy.
Oh, maybe they should get that new deodorant that Old Spice is putting out and have that guy show up and say, yes, but it's for men. I like it because it has lavender in it.
Or they could have a bucket of freaking powder. Shane McMahon in a baby powder match. Special stipulation: first one to get to the baby powder
next on Extreme Rules.
Yeah, exactly,
the baby powder match
with Shane McMahon.
Oh, we're bad, man. That's bad.
I don't know. I'm just a total mark, dude. as much as I piss and moan and whine and complain about the WWE, I'm still subscribed to the network. I still watch the pay-per-view.
When they get it right, they get it very, very right. You got to admit that, right? They get it right, they get it right. But, man, sometimes they do things. Can I just say the most boring man, Money in the Bank? Let's do this again. I was so frustrated. I was enjoying it.
Why the hell was he even in there?
I don't know. That's the frustration, because if they had done something to say he was going to be in it, if he was replacing Sammy, even at the very last minute, you know, when that music hit, have the announcement come on, but he just showed up and it's his and blah, blah, blah. And he's Mr. Boring in the Bank, as far as I'm concerned.
And he's like, oh, you know, Mr. Brock, the powerhouse, he's going to go clear the ring and climb the ladder, you know. It's like, oh, come on.
You know who I feel bad for? Sammy. Sami Zayn.
I do, too. There's no reason why Sammy shouldn't have,
had at least a moment. Now, Chris and I did this on Chris on the Mat, but I talked about what I would have done as the booker. I would have included Sammy coming back from the hospital, from the emergency room, and let him have at least a moment in there where he does something, you know, very underhanded to somebody, but they just wanted Brock to get it, and I don't know.
I didn't think Brock was going to renew his contract.
He couldn't work things out with the UFC. I think there was possibly some testing that they were wanting him to do, that WWE. This is no fact. I have no
speculation, Dave. Speculation.
Maybe there was testing involved that the WWE doesn't do for some unknown reason. I don't know. Don't know.
I want to shift gears for a minute, if that's okay.
If you can find them, grind them.
So, I follow. There's an AEW group on Facebook. It's got several thousand members, and so I follow it. And man, these AEW fans are kind of ruthless, man. They're like, talking about how, AEW is going to put WWE out of business.
Not going to happen.
WWE fanboys. But I'm like, it was kind of reminding me of Mr. That Wrestling Guy when he was like, since if you want to go watch, something that's shaking hands and this and that, he's like, go watch ROH. Uh-huh. I don't know why everybody thinks that AEW is like this new...
the end-all to be everything. I don't think it's going to be. I think it's going to be a nice product.
It's like WCW 2.0 is what it's basically being branded as.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know. That's not what Cody and them are branding it as, but that's what I feel the fans are branding it as, is WCW 2.0.
Yeah, they're wanting a return of the Monday Night Wars, because they're going to have their show Tuesday Night Dynamite, but it's not going to premiere until about the time that SmackDown moves to Friday on Fox Sports 1.
I've honestly thought about leaving the group, because it's like every day on there is an argument about this and about that, and AEW crushing the WWE, and but I'm like, guys, I wonder where all these fans have been. Why haven't they thrown their? Why has nobody thrown their support behind Impact?
Exactly.
Why has nobody thrown their support behind ROH?
You can guarantee that these people that are on that Facebook page, that they watch the WWE now, and they complain about the WWE on every little place they can get on. They just don't see that the WWE is the Goliath in the room. And it's going to take years, 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 if they can't even put a dent into the WWE at this time. It's going to take a long time.
Well, and everybody's like, well, Tony Khan or whatever?
Yeah.
Who's the guy that's back in AEW? You know, he's got he's richer than Vince, and he's, you know, and Cody's smarter than Vince. And
I have one question. The money behind AEW. Okay, how long is it going to be there if they start bleeding money?
Well, we saw that.
Yeah,
we saw that with TNA.
Exactly.
When Hulk Hogan tried to you know, he brought Eric Bischoff back, and tried to make it again WCW 2.0. TNA couldn't afford him.
Yeah.
And they just started bleeding money dry and trying to go head to head against the WWE. And I mean, it's like, we've tried this before. You know, Hogan's not a stupid idiot.
No, he's not.
I mean, there were some things I wish he would have done a little different.
Yeah, me too.
With TNA. But, you know, that was some of TNA's highest ratings was when Hogan was there.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
What all Elite has to do, now that they have their TV deal in place, they have to build their base. Now, you're going to see the first month ratings are going to be strong. Guaranteed, the first month, first couple of weeks are going to be strong, and then they're going to start dropping. Then the dirt sheets are going to be going, their ratings are dropping. Oh, no. That's going to happen with any product. You're going to get this big woo at first, and then you're going to have people dropping off. What they need to do is to say, okay, we expect that to happen. It's going to happen. What are we going to do to keep our base strong and then build after that? That's the question for All Elite.
Well, yeah, it really is. And you know, and like I said, so what happens, like you mentioned, what happens if, okay, so how long is their deal for say they have a year or 3 months or 6 months, or what if they decide that they're not getting enough ratings and they don't like it?
That's exactly it, man. That could happen. Now, the ownership, the money people behind it, have recently in an article, and I'm sorry I can't quote who did the article and all that. I just don't remember. I'm doing this off the top of my head. But the ownership said they have a five-year plan in place. And I hope they have a five-year plan to where they can build this to make it a really valuable commodity in the world of professional wrestling.
Well, yeah. You know, so what's going to happen? I sent you a text message the other day. There's a lot of people who are like Killer Cross. Do you recall him?
Yeah, I love his work in the ring. He's good.
Yeah. Killer Cross, he was going to come to Salt Lake last year.
Or, right, yeah.
I don't know if he ended up coming or...
No, he didn't. He wound up doing an event in Las Vegas instead.
But like Killer Cross just asked for his release from TNA,
mm-hmm.
or from Impact. And there was a female wrestler that just asked for her release from Impact. And so there's a lot of people who are unhappy with Impact right now. And so what's going to happen to them?
I don't know. And then when I talked to Marty the Moth, Martin Casals, before the Devotion event, he said that a lot of the people with Lucha, the Lucha Underground people, don't let them know what's going on. Because he still does not know if there's going to be another season of Lucha Underground. They haven't said officially, even to the talent. And there's been people that have been asking for a release. The Lucha Brothers, Pentagon Dark, he's no longer there. Phoenix is no longer there. He has asked for his release. So that's, you know, a little bit of the underbelly of professional wrestling, that they've got to get something worked out. They need to let their talent know what's going on. And All Elite is going to be talent-based. I think the talent is going to be running it, not necessarily the management, the ownership, like Vince does and Shane and all them. I think there'll be more talent involved with the everyday running of All Elite Wrestling.
Yeah, you know, and there's a lot of good things that Cody has said, that, like, you know, they're going to provide health insurance and help with injuries. And, you know, he says he's going to pay for health insurance and help cover injuries and things like that. So good on him, I guess. But again, how long is that going to last? I mean, you know,
everything costs money.
You think of a health insurance for that many pro wrestlers and, you know, to find an agent that's going to be like, oh, hey, let's give you health insurance for a company that's basically bound and determined to get injuries. I mean, the rates have got to be.
Yeah, but you know, they could with the kind of money we're talking about that the management has, they could underwrite themselves. You know, so
yeah,
that might be a thing that they do, and they might make the wrestlers pay. A huge. What do they call that?
That premium.
Yeah, premium for that. But, you know, they need something, to be honest with you. They really do. And that's one of the reasons that I'm excited about All Elite. They might change the business model a little bit for the WWE, which I think should be good because they put them, they say they're independent contractors and then they control everything that they ever do. And I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I think that that's very frustrating, you know. Mm-hmm. And one thing that's always frustrated me is the exclusive contracts, you know, where you can't. You know, they can't perform anywhere or be seen anywhere or give interviews or do anything.
And then they call them independent contractors.
Yeah.
That doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, that's strange to me.
Yeah.
So let's go back. Do we fast forward or do we rewind right now?
Well, whichever button you push, let's do it.
MIB, Money in the Bank's done, over with. We announced the 20, well, not we, unless you have a mouse in your pocket. Mick Foley announced the 24/7 title, which people are calling it the PG era hardcore championship.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that you could challenge the hardcore. But I thought that it could only be like on Raw or SmackDown. I didn't know they could do it at live events.
They did that for a while. They did that. I don't think it was all the time like that, but they did that for just a little while. So it just all depends on how they're going to present it. That's what.
So Bobby Roode's the champion right now?
Yeah, the first champ was that was our man Titus O'Neil. He became the first champion, and then. They don't call him Bobby. It's Robert Roode.
Robert.
And he's up at the top of the ramp and he attacks, Titus and he wins. So he is at this point, the champion. I mean, when we record this, he's the champion.
Okay. It's a good, it's fun. It's a good idea. It can bring a little, backstage fun to things a little. Well, you'll see some house show, maybe, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities for it, I guess, mm-hmm. to change hands. And,
right.
I mean, some of those ones we were watching I think I showed you about the Dragon Pro one we were talking about.
Uh-huh.
They were waiting for him to go to sleep and then they'd sneak up to him and put their, what? Three. I mean, some of that stuff was entertaining as heck.
Yeah.
You know what they should do is have a WWE Network exclusive.
Uh-huh.
And they should, an announcer or a Facebook Live or something to where there's going to be a title defense. Not necessarily, I don't know how they would do it, but, I guess because it's all scripted, they could just, all of a sudden go live on Facebook and you'd see, R-Truth at the airport with the championship, and here comes somebody out from the corner and smacks him with a steel chair. And there's a lot of especially with social media now, there's a lot of ways they could make it entertaining and get the fans involved and get views online and things like that. So
there's been a lot of people, quote on social media that want to whine and complain about it. I'm taking a let's wait and see attitude because it could lend itself to being a lot of fun, a lot of different changes, a lot of different stipulations. I'm just taking a wait and see. So for what it's worth.
Yeah. And like I said, there's a lot of potential there for it to be entertaining as heck.
Right.
And I really think that the social media end of things could be,
could be
don't you think that would be fun?
A lot of fun.
All of a sudden have either a WWE Network exclusive or a Facebook Live or something like that.
Send out a notification. They're going live to interview the newest champion, the new 24/7 champion, Join us in 10 minutes, you know, or something like that. And then what? Yeah, I think it could be a lot of fun.
Well, Dave, we've talked WWE, we've talked AEW, we've even mentioned Impact and ROH. I was just going to say, and we also mentioned Devotion Championship Wrestling.
Oh.
I want to thank Marlon, man. Oh, what a stud.
What a stud. Great
you
interview.
Know, that, what a humble, humble guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, he shout out to his mom, shout out to his grandfather. I mean,
yeah.
What a, you know, you can really tell that he.
And well spoken. And well spoken. Yeah. Yeah. And he's got a great story growing up in Detroit, which is not easy. He mentioned it himself. He could have been a statistic. Football kind of helped him get out of that situation. And he is a very humble man. And you can tell he means it when he talks. I mean, and what a talent. What a talent. Yeah.
What a cool guy.
Yeah.
But so you're going to mention, you mentioned ROH. Tell me what's your
one of the best matches I have seen in the past year. One of the most entertaining matches was with the last real men in professional wrestling, Silas Young against Jonathan Gresham. Now ROH takes Gresham as a little bit smaller competitor, but he can turn you inside out. They call him the Octopus. Very good performer, mid-carder. Silas Young, upper mid-card, could be a world champion someday. And Gresham and him have a little feud going. Gresham says, "You can't beat me without cheating." So Silas Young says, "Yes, I can. We're going to have a match where it's just going to be a straight-up match." The storytelling in this match that was on, I think, 2 weeks ago on ROH was so good. Of Gresham almost losing his temper, but Silas Young, you know, saying, "Oh, you can't do that. This is a clean match." And they were going at it. Silas Young was hold by hold, just high flying on the mat. You name it, it was there. And then when Silas Young gets thrown out of the ring, he runs over frustrated and grabs a steel chair. Now follow me on this one. As he comes back to the ring, he reaches over to the ring bell, takes the hammer, and puts it down the backside of his trunks. So he's got a hammer in the backside of his trunks, gets into the ring. The referee takes away the chair, and he clocks Jonathan Gresham in the head with the hammer. I thought it was such good storytelling. I will give him props. That was so well done. And I wish we could find writers who did that. Good job, man. That was so much fun. I enjoyed that. So.
He texted you a lot these days.
That's fine.
Championship Wrestling from Hollywood.
Yes.
They found a new fan in me. I really like it, dude.
Yeah.
I really thoroughly enjoy. Their announcers are excellent.
Yes.
And one guy I want to mention who I think is I don't know why he's not anywhere else because he's so good is professional Peter Avalon.
Right.
Dude, that guy is so, I don't know, he kind of reminds me, I don't know who he reminds me of. He's just a slimy bugger.
Uh-huh.
And just cocky and just arrogant, and he's got a great look.
Uh-huh.
And he does that half crab finisher.
Oh, looks
that
like.
That is super, super good.
So have you seen the 400th episode that aired over the last weekend?
I've been watching it on Fight, and I think I'm on 413.
Yeah.
Four.
Well, they on their broadcast, they just did the 400th episode, so I think you're probably a little bit behind that. So, he was featured on there, and then you like Gentleman Jervis.
Yeah.
And he went against Royce Isaac, and Royce Isaac is a stud, man.
Didn't he go against Royce Isaacs for the TV title or something like that?
Yeah, at one time, yeah. But this was for the TV title this time, yeah. So great match.
Yeah, that was. I wonder if the broadcast is behind the Fight TV app because
I'm not sure.
I saw that one. Did you catch that one? I sent you a message. It was I believe episode 411. I posted it on Facebook, and the guy, he's been at DCW before. He went by Shaggy McLovin at DCW, yeah. And he did that. I don't know how to explain it. If anybody's listening, just go back a couple weeks and check out the Facebook post that I put just a clip of it on there, and there's just so many guys out there that'll never ever, you'll never see him in NXT, you'll never see him in WWE, you never even see him in Impact or ROH, but they're so good.
Yes. So I will agree. And Championship Wrestling in Hollywood is fun to watch. Major League Wrestling on the Fight Network is fun to watch. And Rocky Mountain Pro on Twitch, that's where Marlon's at, also with Devotion. And Devotion has their own YouTube channel. And there's just a lot of product out there, man.
Oh, there is, isn't there? There's so much stuff right now. You know?
And one more thing I want to get in before we go is there is a network called Viceland or Vice, and they're running a series called Dark Side of the Ring, which takes controversies and they do it like an hour long look, like the death of Bruiser Brody. I just watched one today about the Fabulous Moolah. Remember Moolah, all the people that were saying that she was a scuzz bucket? There are people out there that are supporting her, including former wrestlers, a lot of former wrestlers. They have stuff on the Von Erichs, the Gino Hernandez, who was murdered, also Bruiser Brody, the Montreal Screwjob, and also Miss Elizabeth and Macho Man. That is right now, but they're starting a brand new show. It's a 6-episode professional wrestling series. It's all about the performers. And yeah, it's called, it's just a 6-episode series. It starts on the 22nd, and they take a performer and talk to him, and it looks like it's going to be interesting. May the 22nd on Viceland.
Vice. I think I have that channel. I've seen it on the Roku before, but I've never. How did you find this?
To be honest with you, my wife was one night just kind of going through the TV channels, and she was watching one of those police shows, you know, where they follow the police around, and there was a commercial that came on for the Dark Side of the Ring. And so she said, "Are you interested?" I said, "Oh, heck yeah," because they were going to do something on the Montreal Screwjob and Macho Man. I said, "Yeah, I want to record that." So she set up the DVR. I'm watching the one about the Fabulous Moolah today, and they put on about this new series starting on the 22nd. So,
how neat.
Yeah, I'm excited. Vice. Yeah, it's on Vice, yes. Vice.
Wow. June 15th, let's throw that out there too, Devotion in Salt Lake.
I can't go.
I probably won't be able to make that one either.
Oh, but I want to see Marl. I want to see Big Vig and him go at it, man.
I would love to. I'm going to try, but it's I've been going up quite to Salt Lake quite regular. And
yeah.
It's a long jump for.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I'm probably 15, 20 minutes longer now than you are.
Uh-huh. That takes a while, man. And then
it's a rock solid 2 hours for me to get to downtown.
Right. It takes me about an hour and 45 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not terribly far out, but I catch a little traffic or a little slowdown through Utah County, and it puts me, you know, I remember like when I talked, you and I were meeting up a couple weeks ago, and I got a little slowed down, and then with a 6-year-old having to stop and go potty and a few things here and there, and boy, it turns into quite a journey.
Yeah. Well, coming up this weekend, All Elite has Double or Nothing, and it's close to my birthday, so I think that's going to be my birthday present, even though it's overpriced. I mean, 50 bucks?
Let's talk about that real quick before we go.
Okay.
Boy, there's sure a lot of people who are upset over that costing 50 bucks. What are you, real quick?
I think it's overpriced, to be honest with you, especially trying to get that audience. But they're taking the opportunity to make some money, you know. And you get a mark like me that if I can say, yeah, I can do this, then, yeah, I'm going to do it. I haven't made up my mind. I've got to work. Yeah, I got to work on Saturday afternoon, so I don't know what time I'm going to get home. So,
they're doing a little pre-show, they're calling the buy-in, and that's free. I don't know if you've heard about that at all. Yeah, they're calling it the buy-in, and there's several people who are there, Glacier from WCW. Remember him? He's going to be there, and there's a few. I don't know if it's like a Royal Rumble thing or if it's, I don't know, but they're calling it the buy-in, and it's a before Double or Nothing, and it's free on Bleacher Report and YouTube.
Yeah, they did something similar to that last year in Chicago. So yeah.
So how will you? So will you purchase? Will Comcast or somebody be offering?
I think Comcast will. I'm going to have to look into it a little bit over the next couple of days. I'm thinking that Fight Network probably will have it too. So.
And they said that it's been being. I don't know how that Bleacher Report Live works, but I know that they said that that's another outlet for it as well.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna have to look into it, and like I said, I've got to work on Saturday afternoon and Saturday evening, and
you got to do a live.
I'm doing a live remote broadcast from My Mattress. Some great guys there, and so I got to do a live remote broadcast. So it might have to catch it on rerun or something.
As always, it's what a great time to be a professional wrestling fan.
Oh, it's so much stuff going on, God, man.
You know, I say that every fetching week, but I just love it.
Yeah, it's fun.
I mean, it's great. It's just something to look forward to. So, well, Dave, thank you for joining me via satellite.
Live via satellite inside his work truck.
Not anymore. I'm home.
Okay, you're home now. Okay.
I'm home. I'm just wandering the house, petting the dog. You know,
I would say petting your wife, but that would take a wrong turn there. Yeah, we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Waka waka. So, hey, thank you, man.
Well, thanks, Dave. Have a great night, okay?
Okay, will do.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
Oh, that's great.
Uh-huh.
Who knew? You know?
I think the people in the casino looked at me like I had lost my mind.
Going down the slide of Chuck E. Cheese.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Well, I mean, he can just scratch the mad places with Vlad. Who knows? Who cares? And,
man, I can't train to be no wrestler. Are you serious?
I tell you what, watching Money in the Bank would make anybody be sick to their stomach in about 3 or 4 seconds.
How long you've been growing that beard? You have one of the best looking beards I've ever seen, man. I will take my hats off to Creative for that, and then I will stomp on that hat later on.
Monster.
I'm glad Nikki got it. Not Nikki, but Bailey yeah. Got it. Bailey got it.
You get that stupid music and you eat a Jimmy John's sandwich.
First one to get to the baby powder.
Next on Extreme Rules. It was puddling up underneath his eye.
Hey, Dave. Has it been raining for 24/7?
A kid could find at a KB's or a Toys R Us store. Or,
hey, I got a belt at a Toys R Us store. Come on.
Well, but your belt looks better than that one. Yeah.
Well, here we go. Somebody's going to get offended over this.
He is the one man sweat gland, Shane McMahon.
So this one right here ain't worth wiping your tush with.
So it'd be smarks.
But like when the music hits and you go through that curtain, man, something happens to you. I'm telling you, something happens to you. And it's almost like it's definitely me, but I get to play a part.